Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon, and I know it's a bizarre sort of a week, just in terms of timing and how people are going to be dealing with issues this week. And it's one of the reasons that I think we've got to talk about this Virginia Parole Board today. I want it to be a topic of conversation through this Thanksgiving holiday. No, I really do. I think it's that important. And then next week, when everybody's done with these festivities, we'll be talking about it again. I did address it briefly yesterday, and I am just so thrilled that State Delegate Todd Gilbert, who is the leader of the Republicans in the House of Delegates, has some time for us today to really dive into it. Todd, I appreciate you being here.
Right, Jeff. This is extremely important, and it would fly under the radar if it wasn't for the seriousness of it and some great reporting by Graham Mumaugh over at the Virginia Mercury. He had a great story on this the other day.
He sure did. He had an excellent, excellent story over at the Virginia Mercury. So do you mind just sort of laying it out for us exactly what happened and why what finally gets released is just covered in black magic marker?
Sure. Well, it's sad, and it would be funny if it wasn't so serious. But, you know, something is rotten in state government, specifically at the Virginia Parole Board, and has been for some time. You know, ever since George Allen, Virginia did away with parole. But we have people who are parole eligible either because they are pre-1995 sentences or because they are geriatric, they're older, and so we still have that aspect of our parole board going on. And so what is meant here in the era of criminal justice reform, or so-called criminal justice reform, and Democrats really hot to let as many people out of prison as they can, the parole board has gotten very active again, and they've started letting people out, including murderers. There was the cop killer who was released that prompted the first investigation and an expose into what's going on at the parole board, and numerous other murderers who committed really heinous crimes and other violent criminals that the parole board has let out. What they've done, Jeff, for your listeners, is they broke the law, basically. They didn't notify victims. They didn't notify, and by victims, I mean family members. They didn't notify prosecutors that someone was about to be released back into their community who had committed these heinous acts. And they broke the law, and the Inspector General's office, which is supposed to investigate acts of corruption and malfeasance and misfeasance in state government, found as much. And they sent the General Assembly their report that basically identified a number of areas where the law was not followed in these serious cases. And then when we released that to the public, which we believe is our right and our duty, because
yes.
What does the Inspector General exist for if not to bring sunlight to these matters of corruption and problems in government? And so we released the report to the public and the press to shine a light on these problems. And lo and behold, there were several other investigations of where the law wasn't followed. We were advised the law wasn't followed, but the Inspector General refused to give us that report unredacted because they just didn't like that we were telling everybody how bad it was. Hmm. And lo and behold, what the story that Graham wrote the other day embodies is that there was effectively collusion between the administration, the governor's office, the parole board, the attorney general's office, and the inspector general, who is supposed to be releasing these reports without regard to what anybody may think about it, over how and under what circumstances they would be telling the public about any of this. And that's the most troubling thing at this point. It's not even what's going on at the parole board, because we don't really know. It's why is the Inspector General of Virginia coordinating with the administration over how and when they're going to release a report like this?
Now, I'm trying to figure out as I read through what is available. And again, Graham Bumaugh's reporting over the Virginia Mercury is just absolutely first rate. It is bizarre to think, as you say, the Inspector General, which is the office itself, is really charged with investigating the very people that it seems the Inspector General, or at least a staffer, said, hey, here's a copy of this report ahead of time. Go in there and cross out what you don't like. What was there a point person in the Northam administration who did that?
Well, in fairness, I don't think the Inspector General invited amendments, but it appears that they did react in the way that the administration wanted them to, by withholding some or all of this information about what had taken place. I mean, what you saw was a series of exchanges between the Inspector General's office giving basically a heads up to the governor's office and the parole board. Here's what's coming. We're coming forth with this investigation, finding that of wrongdoing.
Right.
And then the administration scurrying around to coordinate with the parole board to sort of come back at the attorney general and or the Inspector General with the attorney general's advice and say, yeah, we don't think you should do this, and we think it's exempt under FOIA. And then after they pushed back, it ended up all being redacted. And that's the real troubling thing. If they're truly independent, a watchdog group for Virginia and Virginia citizens, as they claim to be, there's no reason to collude with the administration or to take suggestions or to hide anything. You know, they're required to send this report to the General Assembly, and they sent us a synopsis, basically, instead of the actual report. And the whole reason they send it to us is because we are the representatives of the people. We are accountable to the people. And the whole reason the Inspector General's office exists is when they uncover wrongdoing in state government, it's so that we can shine a light on it and fix it. And we still have yet to shine a light on these remaining issues that appear to be very systemic and problematic at the parole board. And, you know, Jeff, I know Democrats are all about, you know, the criminals are the victims and the police are the bad guys these days. Yep. That's where they've come out. And that's sort of embodied at the parole board now, when they saw no reason whatsoever to follow the law, to notify victims, to have people scrutinize what they're doing when they're talking about releasing murderers from prison.
One of the parts of Graham's article, let me just read it so that you can comment on it. He writes, at a news conference shortly after the first redacted report was released, Secretary of Public Safety Brian Moran and Northam's Chief of Staff Clark Mercer insisted they wanted more people to see its contents. Moran said on August the 5th, we're working with the lawyers to see if we cannot release much of the information. But the emails paint a more complex picture, Grant Mumaugh writes, and Brian Moran's office was in communication with Tanya Chapman, the chair of the parole board, a half an hour before she decided to send an email to the state inspector general saying, "Whoa, we don't think we're covered under any of this."
Yeah, all that transparency talk was just pure lip service, and posturing, and none of it was backed up by action. If the governor's office really wanted to have transparency, they can just instruct the parole board to waive their exemptions. They could instruct that they themselves could have communicated to the Inspector General, we urge you to release whatever it is that you have, especially to the General Assembly. But it appears they were scurrying around behind the scenes trying to keep it from happening. And there are so many things that are troubling here that it's hard to keep track, Jeff, honestly.
Todd Gilbert is joining us. He is the House Minority Leader in the House of Delegates. Todd, one of the terms that you are quoted as using in this article is collusion relative to what happened behind the scenes. Are you sticking with the term collusion?
Oh, completely. I mean, again, why would you reach out, give a heads up, react positively, apparently, to suggestions about how information should be handled or disseminated? That's not the Inspector General's job. You know, you've got the Attorney General advising two different agencies about things that are, you know, completely in conflict with one another. And look, I know this is all esoteric in some regard for people who may be listening. You know, parole board this and corruption that. I get it. But what people need to understand about this is you have an agency that's supposed to uncover wrongdoing. It's supposed to report on that wrongdoing so we can fix it. At an agency in this instance that where public safety is at stake, where people were murdered, where people were raped and robbed and any number of heinous crimes, and the people who committed them being put back on the street without the law being followed, without victims being notified, without prosecutors being notified, essentially potentially putting the public at risk again for people to reoffend. And the public has every right to know. Victims have every right to know. The people have every right to know, which is why we in the General Assembly may still be pursuing our legal remedies as far as getting this information so that we can know exactly what happened here.
Well, that is the important part. Todd Gilbert, state delegate, touching on what I really do believe is the most important part, Todd. The fact that this is not just a file, right? These are human beings. We here on this radio station focused very, very seriously on the actions, I don't even want to say his name, but you know, the man who murdered a Richmond police officer, young kid in his 20s, and that family was with us on so many different occasions, saying we were treated so poorly by the Virginia Parole Board. They just misused their sense of authority. And it was just, I mean, it was embarrassing as a Virginian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hostility
yeah.
to victims' families is what's really, I think, so disconcerting here.
Yeah.
And that kind of culture exists in the parole board is not only troubling, it's infuriating. And that type of culture should not exist. If anything, the governor's office should be trying to root out what is the core value there that creates such hostility to victims, wanting to ignore them as overtly as they did. And instead, you know, it's how can we cover this up? And that was the reaction we got from the folks who were pushing for transparency or saying they were pushing for transparency was a cover up. And we still don't know. We know that there were issues. We know the law wasn't followed. We still don't know what it was because it's all blacked out.
Yeah,
and we're going to get to the bottom of it, though.
Well, listen, I wish you the best of luck doing that. I want you to stay in touch so that we can continue to cover this again. For me, as a former police officer, I look at Michael Connors, who was slaughtered in such brutal fashion. And as we said, the Virginia Parole Board chair, at least, both of them, the past chair and the current one, just didn't seem to care about that at all. Todd, I appreciate you being here. I wish you and yours a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving, and look forward to chatting again soon.
You too, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That is Todd Gilbert. He is the state delegate. He's the leader of the minority, the Republicans in the House of Delegates. And what went on with this Virginia Parole Board nonsense, it is absolutely inexcusable. But I'm going to tell you again, my friend John Reed once a week has Brian Moran, the Secretary of Public Safety, on. Now, it's not going to happen this week because of Thanksgiving, but next week you make sure you're listening to John anyway, starting at 6 in the morning, but you especially be listening because I can guarantee you John is going to ask about these issues, and it'll be fascinating to hear what Mr. Moran has to say. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.